17, and it's a story about 10 lepers. Now, that may not mean a whole lot to us today other than a skin disease. You know, there's people that suffer with leprosy today, and many times it's curable. But in Jesus' day, it was a death sentence. In Jesus' day, it wasn't only a death sentence in the sense of the physical realm, but leprosy was seen as a judgment from God. And so therefore, was not only this person beginning to decay and to die physically, they were considered dead spiritually. There was no hope beyond that. And so that person was, in a sense, a living dead person in a spiritual sense, because they were considered suffering under the curse of God. Well, there was a new person in town, a new sheriff, so to speak, that the people begin to hear about, and hope begin to well up within individuals. And these 10 lepers, even though they were outcast from society, even though they were out on the countryside, they had heard of this man, Jesus, because he preached in the countryside as well as in the cities, as well as in the temples. And hope began to be awakened. They heard that he was in their region. And as the law specified, they stood off at a distance and they began to cry out to this Jesus. And as the story is told there, Jesus heard them calling out, hearing the desires of their heart for healing, and he grants them the healing. And he says, go and show yourself to the priest. That was another thing that was, again, within the religious law of the day. They would go back to the priest, who would then declare them clean if, in fact, they were clean. And so, as I can imagine in my divine imagination here, you know, if I can let it run away with it, these men running back to town, back to the temple, where they've been banned from since the day they were pronounced as lepers, and on the way there, beginning to feel actually their feet pounding on the dusty road. Because once, one of the things that leprosy would attack is that of the nervous system, and you would lose your sense of feeling. You would lose your sense of touch. And I can imagine as begin to feel those things that they ran with even greater speed and excitement, knowing what had taken place. But then there was one who stopped in his tracks, looked at what was going on, saw new skin that had formed that was like that of, as they say, a baby's bottom, and turned around and began to run much, I think, with much greater speed than when he was running towards the temple. And he comes back to the feet of Jesus, and he falls down, and he begins to thank him. And Jesus says to those that were with him, were there not 10 that were cleansed? And yet only one has returned. Only one had returned to give thanks. You see, he ran back not simply to a man who had given him healing, but the high priest of heaven who declared him clean. All of us here today, whether we recognize it or not, are like the 10. When it comes to the virus of sin, we all have it. We're all infected. And as it's told in Scripture, the sin virus carries with it a death sentence. All of us, yes, we are living, but in sin, we're on death row. Without hope. Except if it wasn't for a Savior. The same one who healed all 10, by the way. All 10 benefited. Only one was healed to the soul that day. Only one that I can recall was not only given life, but received the abundant life. That same one who brought that healing has healed the world. We don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to exist. But like the 10, we've been given life. But Jesus wants us to be able to experience more than just this life. There is the abundant life. Today, we're going to share with our church family some testimonies. And I've asked some individuals if they would come forward and share their story, which is actually his story. And so we're going to start out with the Strattons. I'm going to ask Herb and Marie to come forward here. We're going to do it a little more casual sense. Go ahead and have a seat there. Pick your seat. And you both some microphones, and you know my little speech, you know, play the trumpet, don't lick the ice cream cone, okay? All right, and you folks, we're going to just do a little interview with these folks. If you don't mind, you can watch on, okay? You can watch, and we'll talk. So, first of all, I want to thank both of you for being willing to come forward today and to share briefly your story and what has been happening. There's a portion of our audience that is here today that don't realize what they're witnessing is a miracle, that you folks are even here today and on stage. Life has been quite a roller coaster lately, and Herb, you know, can you tell me a little bit about that roller coaster?
Well, it's what has happened over the last few weeks is the last chapter of a long, long story of fighting Crohn's disease for 40 years.
Wow, 40 years you've been fighting Crohn's disease. Now, most of us here, we probably heard the term Crohn's disease, but probably don't really know much about it. And so we just happen to have a perfect witness here today with a medical background. Marie, you have a medical background. Could you share with us briefly what we're talking about when we hear Crohn's disease?
Well, I know there are others in our congregation. Is this on?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. I know there are others in our congregation who are familiar with Crohn's disease as well. Pastor Lou mentioned, to keep it simple, when we're talking about the human body, there really isn't anything very simple because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. But the short version is that Crohn's is an inflammatory bowel disease that basically attacks the lining of the digestive system. And how that plays out varies a great deal from individual to individual. For people like Herb, it has meant many flare-ups, it's meant obstructions, it's meant many surgeries, and any time you impact the ability of the body to take nourishment, because that's what you're doing, then that leads to fatigue and anemia and weight loss, and the list goes on and on. So it's not an easy disease to live with. And at this point in time, there's no known cure. It's just treated with medication, with surgery when it's needed. I think the current thinking is that it is an autoimmune disease, and so there's some treatment along those lines. But that's the short version.
Thank you, Marie. Now, Herb, you mentioned just moments ago this has been a lifelong journey for you and your family. And it's been a complicated one at that, right? So what many of our audience doesn't know is that you had surgery just a few weeks ago. Is that correct?
That's correct. About 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, Marie and I went to Seattle.
That's right, 2.5 months ago.
2.5 months ago. Time passes fast.
September 8th, to be precise.
Time passes fast when you enjoy what you're doing, I guess. Anyway, we went to Seattle to the University of Washington Medical Center over there to have another surgery.
This is your ninth surgery.
Ninth surgery.
Okay, ninth surgery. So Seattle, Washington. Wow, you know that's quite a ways to go for surgery. You know what gives? How come you didn't have surgery here in the Treasure Valley area?
We don't have any doctors here. No, that's not true. We consulted. My eighth surgery was in Boise. And we went back to the same surgeon to see if he would do it again. And he said that he would not like to do that again because it was so difficult last time. And so he went to another doctor, a friend of his, and consulted with her, and she said also that she didn't want anything to do with me. So
don't take it personally.
So they, through their consultation and so forth, why they referred us to a doctor over in Washington. Mm.
Now, Marie, I know we don't have time to share all that transpired in Washington while you were both there, but once they finally determined that they were going to, in fact, perform surgery on Herb, there was a couple of other complications that came up right beforehand.
Right. We've mentioned that Herb has had several surgeries prior to this. And for this type of surgery, you usually have to have a central line put in. That means it goes into one of the large vessels in your chest directly into your heart. And Herb has had this done numerous times. He needed it done again in order to provide nourishment for him and all of the things that go with having major surgery. When they went to do this, there were no vessels that were available to be used. His body had developed collateral circulation to the point that there were no large vessels that could be used for this. So they had to go in and quite an involved process, but ultimately it meant some major surgery in order to place a central line so that he could be maintained during the actual surgical procedure in his abdomen. So that took a bit of doing and a lot of the blessing of God to make happen. And once they got that accomplished, we were all set to go. We thought, we're waiting on the day of surgery. Practically, the gurney was practically on its way to take him to the operating room when he had a grand mal seizure. Totally unexpected. So, needless to say, they canceled the surgery that day until they could figure out what had caused that. And there's a lot to this story that we're leaving out, because if we told you all of the details of even the 7 weeks that we spent in Seattle, we'd be here for a very long time.
Wow. I'm already dizzy with the Cliff Notes version of the story, right? And so, but it's truly a miracle that both of you are here today, that Herb specifically, that you're here sitting in our midst and answering some questions here. But I have a question that I haven't asked that I'd like to ask you. With all of this that has gone on and what has transpired through your lifetime, how did you keep your faith in Jesus?
Well, that's not an easy question to answer. There, of course, anybody who in this congregation who has ever had any lingering sickness knows that there are times when Satan tries to discourage, and sometimes he's successful. But there are things that the Lord has in his pocket as well, and one of those things is I've never seen any angels sitting on or standing at the foot of the bed. Probably would be scared to death if I did. But he has means. He has ways and means of bringing us encouragement and hope. And one of the ways that he used in this particular time that we were in Washington was friends. And Len and Mary Kelly took time from their lives to drive the 500 miles to Seattle and spend some time with us, and that was such an encouragement and such I just can't describe how encouraging that was. Mm. We spent a few days together there. Their plan was to spend a couple of days with us, and then they were going to go on down to the coast, but we took care of that. When they were getting ready to leave, I had an incident where they had to take me back to the hospital, and so they came with Marie, and they spent a couple more days with us that they didn't plan on doing, so they didn't get to see the coast at all, I don't think. But anyway, that's what friends do, and that's what God used to help me and to encourage me and Marie both. Then there's another thing too that I would like to bring up in gratitude, and that is every week in our Sabbath school class, and most weeks in our Sabbath school class. The teacher will pass a card around to have a sign and leave a message for those who needed encouragement. And I, you know, sometimes I have a tendency to forget that, you know, you're not just writing something; you're actually doing something that will encourage somebody. And I've received several of those kinds of cards while I was in the hospital. And it is a great encouragement. So when somebody asks you to send somebody just a little, it doesn't have to say much, just a little word of encouragement, it helps.
Amen. Amen. Wow. You know, some of you may not realize, but I think throughout Herb's life and his experience, one of the things that developed out of that is a ministry that the Holy Spirit, I believe, laid upon his heart. And him and Len both, Len Kelly, have been visiting folks whenever we hear of someone going into the hospital and going to have surgery, whether it's at 5 in the morning or whenever it might be. These two guys venture out early in the morning and spend time with folks just to have prayer with them. And that has been quite a ministry that's been performed by them. And Marie herself has been, she helped out, came to the forefront when Sarah Taylor, who had been forwarding emails to our prayer warrior team and sharing the needs as they arose, she was doing that. She came in, even in the midst of all that was going on, she tried her best to keep up with that from a distance and afar, and we really appreciate that. So there's been a lot going on, and it would probably take a lifetime, wouldn't it, to share that story. And one day, maybe we'll all have the opportunity after Jesus comes to hear the rest of the story that's taken place in these folks' lives. I want to thank you both for being the one leper today. who is willing to come back and give thanks and to give a testimony of his story, which is also your story.
I'd like to say just one more thing. We've gone from church here for quite some time because I just didn't have the strength to come. But since we've been back, there have been numberless people who have come and said, we were praying for you. And I just want to say that we appreciate the fact that people were thinking and praying for us, and that those prayers did some good.
Amen. Amen. Before I let you walk off the platform here, can I have a prayer with both of you? So we bow our heads. Father in heaven, we've heard this story today, which, Lord, can be probably echoed throughout this congregation. Of in our times of despair, in our time of the storm, Lord, where we maybe even at moments felt that we were all alone. And we cried out, Lord, we're going to perish, or we feel like we're perishing. And you hold up those hands that were pierced and nailed to the cross. And you say to that perfect storm, peace, be still. And the storm may still rage on, but there's an amazing peace that overcomes us in that time of that storm, knowing that our God has not forsaken us and he is with us. Amen. Lord, we look forward to the day with the ultimate healing and the final calming of the storm, when Jesus shall return. Until then, Lord, help our mouths to give praise to what you are doing and what you have done and what you will continue to do in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you both.